And we'll start with you, Bob McCarthy, please. The question is this. Salem is already seeing the effects of the climate crisis, including flooding during storms and high tides. Focusing on what you would do, what are your top priorities to mitigate the climate crisis?
Thank you. I think that we've already started that work, and I think as someone who is very fortunate to live in a home where my wife grew up and I can see the ocean from the home, I realize that it rises every day and it gets higher every day, and it's a reality. In my neighborhood, we're experiencing the near loss of a seawall, and we've gone through the process of going to the point of permitting that and realization that the climate change is coming, and it is real, and it is real to the people who live here. We're going to work to, we've got the funding in place to do that, but the reality is when people look at it, you have options of how you deal with the rising tides. You build your way out of it, you pump your way out of it, or you wall your way out of it. And it's a reality that the tides are rising, and we as a city have to be cognizant of that, and we have to, start implementing plans and put in place. We most recently conducted a plan with regard to the Point neighborhood, and we're currently looking at the Collins Cove Willows neighborhood as well, to try to mitigate and understand what the ramifications will be if we do nothing, and we actually we have to prepare to try to do something to solve these issues.
Thank you. Stacia, your thoughts on climate, please.
Our municipal vulnerability preparedness studies from 2014 and 2020 recommend that we move critical infrastructure away from our flood zones. Namely, they named, believe it or not, our present MBTA station, the police station, and the Bentley School. In addition, Woods Hole just generated new inundation maps showing the areas of the most serious flooding. Salem has disregarded this information and these findings and are proposing 9+ projects on these zones. These municipal vulnerability preparedness studies also say that it's less expensive to move infrastructure out than it is to elevate. And you can see right now we've already built, the North Shore CDC has already built a couple that are elevated. The flood zones, if they are restored, are the best defense we have against sea level rise. They offer more protection than whatever gray infrastructure anyone's talking about. In addition, impacted areas create more carbon, as much carbon as having that property completely covered with cars running constantly. So they contribute to global warming. So this is actually my big topic. We should not be building on any of our flood zones.
Thank you. Neil Harrington, please.
The challenges presented by sea level rise for a coastal community I don't need much explanation on my part. However, as the town manager in Salisbury, I can tell you I have some experience in dealing with these matters. We have applied for and received what are called, as Stacia mentioned, municipal vulnerability grants from the state. The state, in fact, has bonded over $2 billion, and I'm sure will continue to do so, for grants to cities and towns to implement some of the resiliency measures that we need to implement along our coastline. But we need also not to exacerbate the problem by building closer to our wetlands and our natural resources and our waterfront, such as what is being proposed at the Shetland Industrial Park. These are not compatible with what eventually will be our coastline. And so taking advantage of the partnership that we need to have with the state, because these problems are in the hundreds of millions of dollars, we need to work with the state to apply for the types of grants, to work on the programs, one of which was mentioned earlier by Acting Mayor McCarthy, to deal with what's currently happening now and to prepare for the future. We cannot do it alone.
Thank you very much. And Dominic Pangallo.
Thanks. Yeah, the climate crisis is the existential threat of our time, our children's time, our grandchildren's time. It's why I helped create the Sustainability Department for the City of Salem, hired its first director, why I was focused with that department on advancing our climate planning efforts like Resilient Together. We have to remain committed to planning and funding the projects that are going to provide mitigation when climate change effects continue to affect us. But we also have a moral responsibility to reduce our own contributions to the climate crisis. I was proud to help originate the Salem Power Choice Program, our municipal electrical aggregation program that's saved millions on people's electric bills here in Salem, but also helped us meet our climate goals. We put solar on school rooftops and electric vehicle charging stations into public parking facilities, and we reduced vehicle emissions by making it easier to get around Salem without having to use your car. As Neil mentioned, 17,000 people commute into Salem every day, and if even some of them were able to find housing close to where they worked, they wouldn't be on the roadways in vehicles. There are historic federal resources available to us right now, the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law. In the Driscoll administration, we're aggressive about pursuing grant opportunities, and it would be a priority in my administration not to leave a single dollar on the table in those two pools of federal funding to advance these essential projects. I'm proud to have the endorsement of the Environmental League of Massachusetts, local climate leaders like Pat Gazemba, because they know that I'll continue to be a leader for this city when it comes to sustainability in our climate crisis.
Thank you, Dominic. And Steve Dibble, please.
Thank you for the question. For years, most of the environmental projects coming before the city would come across my desk, 14 years as senior planner. I wore multiple hats. I was the conservation administrator. I wrote grants, environmental grants, to do extensive tree plantings throughout the city to help. I designed our recycling program. I saved millions of dollars in renegotiating our trash contracts. I just don't talk about it a little bit. I live it. I was one of the first houses in Salem to have solar panels on our roof. We have electric mini-split heat pumps. All of these things help. We need to do the same thing on a larger scale, not just on a couple of Salem buildings, but a lot of them. We need to do a better job in maintaining things. The city does. Our seawalls throughout the whole city have basically been ignored in large part. We need to repair them. I'm a big proponent, and I've spoken out on this for years, of the offshore wind turbines, and I'm so happy that they're coming to Salem, where they're going to come in by barge, be unloaded, put together, and then shipped out by barge. They're going to be located 8 to 10 miles offshore. You won't be able to see them from the land. They're going to provide clean energy. As mayor, I will work to get that job done, as I have been as a city council proponent, speaking in favor of this for a long time. We need to work on our buildings, our municipal buildings, and turn them green. Solar panels and any future buildings, we need to have them truly be green, LEED certified, et cetera.